Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 34. Preached on this passage several times, and I just felt led to preach it again today. Look at verse 34. Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." But after that, no one dared to question him. The story behind this is this young lawyer or scribe, we'd call him a lawyer today. He knew all about the law. He came to Jesus. They were trying to trip him up, and he said, "Lord, what is the first commandment? Which is the first commandment?" And Jesus answered him this verse, in verse 29. "The first of all commandments is, hear, O Lord, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment." And then Jesus said, "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, and there's no other commandment greater than these." The young man talked to Jesus and said, "Yes, those are the two greatest commandments." And Jesus said to the young man, "You know, you're not far from the kingdom of God." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Heavenly Father, we just pray that this morning you'll touch our hearts and stir our hearts that we may just long to serve you. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now Jesus said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." So let's look, one, at the condition of this young man. He's almost in the kingdom of God. He almost understands what it means to have a personal relationship with the Lord and Savior. Let me ask you this morning, what is it? What does it take to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? So if Christ were here today, or he came back today, would you know Jesus Christ, and would you be able to, when he called you home, to go to heaven, to be in the kingdom of God? What does it take to get into the kingdom of God? He told Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." So I would say that you have to be born again. Now, what does it mean to be born again? It simply means you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You trust him as your Lord and Savior. You believe that you're a sinner, and Jesus Christ paid that debt that you, if you put your faith in him, trust him with your life, repent of your sins, and turn and walk toward Jesus Christ, that you will have everlasting life. You will be in the kingdom of God. That's what it means to be in the kingdom of God. Now, I feel like most people here this morning, if I asked them if they were going to heaven, you'd say, "Well, I believe so. I believe. I think I would be in the kingdom of heaven." As I said last week, you know, there's no victory in not knowing in your life. You need to know that you know that you know that you have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There are those who are here, and there's those that live out in the world that they're not far from the kingdom of God, but they're not in the kingdom of God. You see, you're either this morning in the kingdom, you're receiving the blessings of God, you've been born again, or you're outside the kingdom of God, and you're outside of the blessings of God. Now, outside the kingdom is the unblessed and the unsaved. Inside of the kingdom of God are the rejoicing and the redeemed of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people are just uncertain about their condition. Ask yourself this morning, am I in the kingdom of God, or am I on the outside? The condition of this young man was he's outside the kingdom, even though he's pretty close to the gates of heaven. Jesus says, you're not far from the kingdom of God, but he's still outside of the kingdom of God. I was to go to Walmart this morning, and I walked down the aisles, and I talked to people, and I would ask people about Jesus Christ. Many of them would say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, or I'm a Christian, or some would not know anything that I was talking about and wonder what that man is talking about. What does he mean? Is he a Christian? What do you mean if he's in the kingdom of God? What does it mean to have eternal life? There'd be a variety of answers about the kingdom of God or how to get into the kingdom of heaven. Some would say, well, my name's on a church roll. Folks, that is the most popular answer, I believe, that I get when I ask people about how is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Or are you a Christian? And people will say, well, my name's on the church roll down there at such and such a church. Some may say, I go very often. I'm a member of the church down there. Some would say, I don't go very much, but when I do go, I go to the church down the road. Some people say, well, you know, I believe in God. I pray. I believe in God. I read my Bible. I believe in God. I must be saved. Well, this young man, he was a lawyer. He knew the law. He could answer the questions. And Jesus says, listen, today you've answered, and you're not far from the kingdom of God. Is that your condition this morning? You're sitting there and you're saying, you know, I'm in church. I read my Bible. I must be in the kingdom. But you know, you can go to church. You can read your Bible. You can be even baptized in all the baptistries that we have, and still not be in the kingdom of God. You see, God tells us how we can get into the kingdom. All these things are good. You can go to church. Let me tell you something. There's another question that I'm often asked. What denomination is right? Well, let me tell you something. This might be a shocker. When you get to heaven, he's not going to ask you if you're a Baptist. He's not going to ask you if you're a Presbyterian. He's not going to ask you if you're a Church of Christ or Pentecostal or a Methodist. Those will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said you must be born again. You see, denominations are not getting you into heaven. Many people believe, well, if I can just be a part of the right denomination. And we have the Catholic religion. We have the all kinds of different religions. I think I've got a book in my office of all the religions in there. Man, I tell you what, there's about 10 pages of different kinds of religions. Baptist. Nowadays, you say Baptist. Well, that don't mean a whole lot. There's so many types of Baptist, I wouldn't know half of them myself. And then somebody said, what about the Methodist? Well, you know, the Methodists, they've got Methodist this, Methodist that, messing with this and messing with that. And I don't know about them either. But you know what? It really doesn't matter what denomination. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what matters. I was baptized as an infant, somebody says. That surely makes me all right. Baptism as an infant doesn't do a thing for you. Somebody said, "What when we dedicate our children to the Lord, are they saved?" I said, no, that does not save them. That is for you as parents. You are committing yourself to raise that child in the nurture and admonition of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The baby is still the baby. It doesn't save that baby. But if you raise that child up in the way he should go, if you train them early and get them in a Bible study class, in a children's class, man, they hear about Jesus Christ, and there's a time in their life when the Holy Spirit's going to be talking to them, and maybe in vacation Bible school. I've had kids come during vacation Bible school, and they've learned the Bible and everything, and they want to know, Brother Booney, how do you get saved? And we'll lead them to the Lord, and they ask Christ to come in their life. It may be in a vacation Bible school. It may be in a church camp. But bring those children to Jesus Christ. Tell them about God at home. Let them know that you love the Lord. All are good. Man, we need that today. You may not be far from the kingdom yourself, but if you're away from God, you're lost. You're lost. That is the condition of this young man. Jesus said, listen, you may know all the answers. You may know everything about the commandments and all of that. He says, you answer wisely, but you're not far from the kingdom of heaven. Causes. Why would some people know the Bible and yet not be saved? Well, let me tell you something. There's a lot of different things. Religion is one of them. You know, you go to church, and how many of you, well, don't raise your hand. Let's just say, answer this to yourself. How long have you been in church? All your life? Mm-hmm. Most of you? Amen? I can't remember a time when I wasn't in church. I started going to church even before I was born, my mother went. While I was still in her womb, I went. But you know what? I didn't get saved till I was about 21 years old. Something around that. I went to church for a long time. I thought, well, you know, I know God. I must be saved. I go to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and to every revival. Man, when we had a revival at our little church, it went on for a week and sometimes 2 weeks. And I went every night. I didn't get to say, Daddy, I don't want to go tonight. He just said, boys, get ready. We got ready. Various causes. You might have gone to church when you were young, and you might have grown up in a church, and being religious, you might think, well, I'm in the kingdom of God. I've gone there all my life. And sometimes it's the influence of your parents. I've heard people say, well, you know, I must be saved. My grandmother was saved. My daddy was saved. My mother was saved. They read the Bible at home. So naturally, they would think, well, since everybody in our family reads the Bible, I must be saved too, so I must be in the kingdom of God. So you have religion that causes people sometimes to think they're saved, and then you have the influence of a godly parents sometimes. Or maybe your wife or your husband goes to church, and you think, since they go to church, I must be in church myself. I've known wives that went to church and their husbands went with them. But you know what? That husband sit there. He never was saved, but he thought probably, well, since my wife goes and I'm going to church every Sunday with her, I'm probably in the kingdom of God. But that doesn't get you saved. Or maybe your friends influence you. You might be running around with godly friends. And I know that I've had a lot of friends over my lifetime, good friends, godly friends, that went to church, some preached, but that still didn't make me saved, you see? But these things causes some people to believe that they're saved. They have godly friends, they have godly parents, They've gone to church all their life. They have the influence of their parents. And since they have all of these things, they think, well, I must be in the kingdom of God. Well, Jesus would say, you're probably close, but you're not in. You see, to not be in is to be out. And to be out is to still be lost. Now, if you're here this morning and you said, well, yeah, I've done those things, preacher. I've gone to church all my life. I've had a godly wife or a godly husband. I've got parents that were saved. You mean I'm not a Christian? I mean that, yes, you're probably not a Christian. If you don't know, if you think those things got you into heaven. I surrendered to preach in North Dakota, 1979. It was about 25 degrees, and y'all know what a whiteout is. A whiteout is where you can't see. Well, we were in a pretty good blizzard, and I was just sitting there thinking, Lord, let me get back to Texas alive. It's cold up here. These people don't love me. I know. A young man, we read about it in the paper. They advise you when you are up there and they have a whiteout to carry something like a blanket and in your car and some sweet candy, and I like that. A candle, because a candle will keep you from freezing to death inside of a car. You've got one of these blankets, and they advise you to take a rope, and if you leave your car, to tie that rope around your waist and tie that rope to the car, so if you get out and you can't find your way back, you can follow the rope back to the car. But this young man, we read about it, this young man, his car went dead. And he got out of his car and he started to walk home, and the next morning they found him. He was only 10 feet from the front door, but he couldn't find the door. And he had froze to death that night. It was such a sad condition to those parents. They'd lost their son. So close to safety. So close to the warmth of his house. But he just turned around, and before he could find the door, he had froze to death. That's the condition of some of the people in our church today. That's the condition of so many people in our convention today. That's the condition of so many people in other denominations, including the Baptist denomination. That's the conviction, or that's condition of so many people in America today. They think because they live in America, they go to church, they have friends, they have families, we live in a blessed nation, and we do live in a blessed nation, folks, that they are in the kingdom of God, and when they die, they'll automatically go to heaven. You look at television, nobody ever dies and goes to hell. Oh, he's with the angels today. Not so. If he's in the kingdom of God, he's with the angels in heaven today, with God. But if he's not in, he's lost. There is a hell, and lost people go there. Good people go there because they're not in the kingdom of God. This young man was probably a good young man. But Jesus said, listen, young man, you're not far from the kingdom of heaven. I go to the hospital, and sometimes, you know, you run down the hall or you see somebody getting in the elevator and you try to catch that elevator. I just don't like it when it closes right in front of me. There's one thing I don't like a whole lot is that waiting on stupid elevators that are so slow. And they stop on every, I shouldn't have said that word, stupid. Some of our parents don't let kids say that word. I'm sorry, parents. But I don't like to wait on elevators that much because they stop at every floor. But you know, it's so close. I can see it shut, but I just wasn't there. Man, almost in. Almost on time, but the door was shut. Let me tell you something. Somebody was telling me, I won't mention the name, but somebody's telling me about the story of Jonah. They went to the show and saw it. They saw the show of Jonah, and you know, they said, you got to realize that's Hollywood, folks. That's not anything like it happened in the Bible, but that's Hollywood. And I haven't seen it. I just know it's Hollywood. And they're talking about the people. The door was shut, and people, as the rains came up, people screaming. I can imagine that happening. People trying to get on board. But you know what? Noah couldn't open the door because, you know what? The Bible says God shut the door. And when God shuts the door, if you're not in, then you're out. And when you're out, you're lost. And let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit has to convict you of your lostness. You cannot get saved whenever you want to. That's an old lie from the devil that we believe. A lot of people believe, well, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do what I want to. And when I get old and I'm about to die, I'll then go to church. I've had that question. Preacher, you know, if I just wait till I get old and I start going to church, then I'll get saved. You can't. Sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't convict you. When you live a life of lostness and the Holy Spirit doesn't work on your heart, then you're lost. The Bible says, Pharaoh, God hardened his heart. He couldn't get saved if he wanted to because God shut the door. Those people are waiting on the ark to open wasn't going to do it because God shut the door. There was a time when they could repent and come to Jesus Christ, but then God shut the door. I want you to understand this. If you're not in, then you're out. And to be out of the kingdom of God means to be that you're lost. And if you're lost, then you're not going to heaven. Okay? You're not going to heaven because you're here in this church this morning. You're not going to heaven because your husband or your wife has you here this morning. You're not going to heaven because you know about Jesus Christ. You're not going to heaven because you go to church. You must be in the kingdom of God. God shut the door. Okay, this is the condition. He's outside. The cause is he was a scribe. He knew all the law. He knew it very well, and he probably figured, well, since I'm a scribe, I'm going to heaven when I die. But Jesus says, not so. But let me show you something else. There's no more perilous condition than for someone to be outside and not be far from the kingdom of God and think they're all right. I want you to know, today, if you're not far from the kingdom of heaven and you want to be saved, that want to be right now is in your heart. It's given to you by who? The Holy Spirit. If you hear the word of God, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you've heard the word of God this morning and you said, you know, that's my condition. I'm not in. I've gone to church all my life, but I've never really had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I've never surrendered my life to Him. I've never accepted that free gift of salvation. It's always been about me, me, me. You're not far from the kingdom of God, but you're not in. The Bible tells us that we need to act and decide upon Jesus Christ. There has to be a time when you, by faith, come to Jesus Christ and ask Him to come into your life that you can have a personal relationship with Him. Have you done that? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You see, the Bible says that God, listen to this, you hear it over and over, but you don't sometimes understand it. God so loved the world that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, that whosoever believeth, that means that whosoever puts their faith in Jesus Christ, gives their life to Jesus Christ, shall have eternal life. It did not say whosoever shall go to church, or whosoever shall have a wife that goes to church, or a husband that goes to church, or whosoever shall have godly parents that go to church. No, it says whosoever believeth. That means a personal relationship. You must call on Jesus Christ. Did you know that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ? He literally took off the robe He had in heaven and came down to earth as a little child to die on the cross for you. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God wants you to have a personal relationship with Him. He allowed His only Son to die on the cross. That was the only way. That was the only way. Do you think He would have sent His Son to die on the cross, to go through all the humiliation and the shame and have all the sin poured on Him if there was some other way? If going to a Baptist church would save you, do you think He would have died on the cross? He'd say, no, I'll just go to a Baptist church. Do you think any other denomination? No. Do you think that He would have done that if there's any other way? Jesus says there's only one way, and that's through me. There's no other way. It was His blood that paid the penalty. You see, there has to be a penalty paid. Somebody had to pay the price for your sins and my sins, and that was Jesus Christ. Why did He do that? Because God so loved you that He sent His Son that you might have life. But you know what? It's up to you now. As we would say in our ball games, the ball is in your court. You have to act on that, and you have to decide, do I want Christ as my Lord and Savior? Am I going to accept what He did? What are you going to do about it? I never will forget my experience with Christ. When I sit there on that fourth pew, go ahead and answer that if you want to. When I sat there on that fourth pew, and the Lord kept telling me, you better go down, you're not saved, you're not in the kingdom of God. I kept saying, Lord, you know I've worked in this church for the last 5 years. You're not in the kingdom of God. But Lord, I'm the Sunday school superintendent. You're not in the kingdom of God. But Lord, I've got a wife that's a Christian. You're not in the kingdom of God. If I had a stayed seated or I'd stayed standing in that spot, I could be lost today, probably would be. Because I feel like he would have said, okay, if you don't want me as your Savior, I won't bother you anymore. Man, when I thought that thought, my feet just started moving. I didn't care what anybody else, I just like this. I just wandered down to that preacher, and the preacher said, Boone, what's on your mind? I said, man, I need to get saved, brother. Oh, you don't need to get saved. I said, yes, I do. I've never had a personal relationship with God. And you know what? He was a good pastor and everything, named Ross Black. But he really tried to talk me out of it that day, I think. He said, no, you're Sunday school superintendent here. I said, Ross, I'm lost. I want to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We have a choice to make today. Young people, adults, husbands, wives, you want to do something for your family? If you're not in the kingdom of God, you make a choice to come today. You don't have to join this church. I'm not worried about you joining our church. I want you in the kingdom of God. I want you saved. Why? Because God so loved you, he gave his life for you. The Bible talks about Matthew chapter 7. There's a straight gate and a narrow gate. It's the narrow gate in which we need to go into. Because a broad gate, everybody's going down that road, the Bible says. There's a narrow and wide path. Oh, listen. This old saying that, well, since everybody else is doing it, surely we won't all go to hell. Yes, you will. And I've heard people mock God and say, well, at least I'll be there with my buddies. Well, let me tell you something. You won't be there with your buddies. You'll be alone in a place of total darkness, screaming to the top of your lungs for all eternity. Boy, is that what you want? Or do you want to come to Jesus Christ? It's up to you. The Bible says God made the provision. And you know what, when he called me to preach, I'm not even finished that. When he called me to preach, that was the urgency of the call. Proclaim the word till I come. And brothers, if you don't come today, it's not because you haven't heard the word. Would you come to Christ today? Would you come? The choice is yours, husband, wife, maybe both of you. For the first time, it's come clear. Man, we've been living and working for ourselves all the time. Let's give our lives to God. Let me tell you something. It ain't going to be rosy from now on out. But let me tell you, with God on your side and God in the center of your family, people ask all the time, how in the world y'all been married so long? Well, it's not because I'm anything special. It's because Christ is in the center of our marriage. Amen. And with God in the center of your marriage, man, it makes life a whole lot easier. Would you come to Christ today? If you're here and you're not in the kingdom of God, here's the invitation. All you have to do is by faith say, I'm going to step out and trust him. I don't know everything about it. You don't have to. All you have to know is, you're outside, and you want in. And by faith, coming down, you're saying, I want in, and Christ will open the door and let you in. I guarantee you. He'll seal you with the Holy Spirit, and you can start growing in your Christian life. I'll tell you how you can grow. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home, and this is the place God's led you. Would you come? Would you come this morning and say, this is where God has planted us, and we want to serve in this church. We want to help grow people for Christ. So that's what we're going to do. Maybe you're here visiting. You're looking for a church home, and you need to come. Well, you come. If you're already a Christian, you're inside, and you know you're inside, you're in the kingdom of God, and you know it, well, then start living for Him. If you hadn't been living for Him, you need to get down on your knees or where you are. Some of us can't kneel down much anymore, but just right where you are, say, Lord, I want to live for You. I hadn't been doing that. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for the Word. Lord, we pray that You'll open our hearts to hear it and put aside everything now. Nothing moving, nothing stirring, just the Holy Spirit, that we might step out by faith and come. For it's in Your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.